Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This girl who tattooed her eyeballs, do you know her? Okay. Have you ever met her once?
Are we recording?
Yes.
I know her because she was on the podcast and she got like pretty angry with me because me and my wife were not down to sleep with her before she lost use of her legs. Wow. She like felt like she really deserved that, I guess.
That is.
So that was like a weird thing.
I feel like you navigated a lot of really tough, tense situations with absolute characters on the show, which I really appreciate. Like, do you remember when Aaron Carter gave you that necklace and then took it back?
Yes.
And you handled it so gracefully.
I know.
You were.
What, I handled it like a real gent, didn't I?
You really did.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Like, yeah, you were like, yeah, take it.
He was on the podcast so many times, and at a certain point, I feel like I just kind of stopped like paying attention and shit. And then one day he was just dead, and it just felt kind of weird because, like, I feel like the constant battle for me is like, do I create real relationships with these crazy people who come on the podcast, or do I like isolate them in my mind into just crazy people that I talk to on camera?
Oh yeah, definitely keep me at a distance for sure.
You think? Really?
No, I'm joking.
This is way closer than I normally speak to people on podcasts.
So weird.
I think it's good for like audio reasons, right? And like visual reasons.
This is definitely the closest I've ever been to anyone on a podcast.
I know, it's a very real possibility.
I haven't said this close to like on first date.
We're gonna bump legs. Like, we're gonna do it without trying. I could probably position myself so it's less likely, but. Okay, so this is Caroline Calloway, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And I feel like you, I'm gonna guess that the percentage of my existing audience who knows who you are is gonna be around like 0 to 1%, which I'm totally down for, and that doesn't bother me at all. So I just want to let you know that I'm totally down for this video. It's gonna have like 80% women watching it.
Good.
Which is not my usual.
That's
statistics.
100 my statistics. So welcome.
Your audience is like women who would you say admire or are like kind of hate watching you? Like,
I would say it's a pretty even skew. I'm sort of like Tana Mojo for girls with liberal arts degrees.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, like TanaCon sort of vibes.
And Tana, I went to TanaCon for the record.
No, you did. Oh my god, tell me everything. I have so many questions for you.
TanaCon was sick though.
My management team was literally like, don't ask your questions because I know you're the interviewer.
Wait,
but
they told
so
you
curious.
Not to ask me stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, we could do a little bit of both, right?
Well, I'm saving my questions for the end. They gave me a few.
For the end? They gave you questions?
Well, no, they let me keep a few topics to talk about.
Wait, so your man, is that who's out there?
Yeah, they're
that's
amazing.
Your management team? That's not like your friends?
No, well, they're my friends too. They're amazing.
And what do they manage? Like, what do they do?
Everything. The business, logistics, but I also have my team at UTA. I have the literary agents. There's entertainment lawyer.
They told me that you don't usually wake up till like 2 p.m.
Well,
so they're in charge of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, their idea.
Although, big mistake of them, they also put me in charge of bringing the books today.
Really? And then the book, which we have here, the final.
Which is just a normal book, so.
Authorized.
So it worked out well. Yeah.
So, okay, what did I do wrong? Because I went to the iBooks app and I searched your name, and then I downloaded the first book that came out, and then I read approximately 100 pages of it, and then I realized it was not written by you. And then I was reading a book the girl who used to write your Instagram captions, and I was like, what the f-? I'm reading about Abercrombie, and I'm like, why the fuck? Because I watched that Netflix documentary about the. So I didn't need to read it at all.
Traffic for.
I know. Literally, no, I spent like $15.
Well.
Like, I'm getting your ops rich.
Yeah. It's so rude.
That's your op, like, for real?
Well, yeah, I mean, she absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've been angry about it for so long that Florida's so peaceful and I feel like I'm living so healthy there. I'm really trying to enter a new phase. And also, I think it helped that my book sales just and book press just absolutely obliterated her book.
Okay.
So now I'm entering what I'm just trying to be a more peaceful relationship to her. But she really did wrong me so grievously.
But do you look at that as like all part of this great story that you're creating, or is that just something where you're generally upset about it?
I think that is more like a hand that I was dealt that I had to, like, I would have loved to never have to address my ex-best friend taking credit for ghostwriting my Instagram, okay. Which she helped me ghostwrite a book proposal, which is like a Word document that only like publishing sees, like only sort of industry insiders.
Right.
And so we co-wrote that. And then we wrote captions years and years before I became famous for like an audience of no one,
okay.
Like literally fake followers.
Right.
But then she tried to fill in the 3 years in between those two times by just being very vague about it to New York Magazine.
So I have amazing news for you.
What?
So I guarantee you don't know this. So Drake and Rick Ross have been beefing, right?
Yes.
And one of Rick Ross's accusations, claims about Drake is basically like, hey, people out there, you don't know this, but Drake has like a team of people writing his Instagram captions.
Okay, I'm pro Drake. Drake is probably writing them himself.
I can't hold it against him at all, but I just like, when I heard him say that, I was like, oh my God, that's like Caroline Calloway Poppy right here.
And
I mean, Drake, like, he's never going to acknowledge that or respond to that, but like, I would like to think that if I was worth billions of dollars, that I would probably also want to have like a team of, you know, youthful employees who could write the hippest caption possible, because a lot of times when I go to write a caption, I do kind of feel like I'm not going to be as cool as like the video game kid that, you know, has like a real knowledge base that these kids are going to appreciate.
Yeah, you're tempted to be out here in these streets with your real handle commenting on bitches' Instagram like, my wife and I would have fucked you if you had legs.
Yeah, I could do that.
Or we wouldn't have, even if you did.
I wanted to go harder on
I wouldn't say you should write your own Instagram captions either.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like it's understandable that Drake doesn't.
Yeah, but the thing, why it was so egregious for my career was because like my craft is writing sentences,
right.
And it would be sort of like if someone accused Drake of having, which I'm pretty sure
he does
have a team, but
there's been a lot of that too. Lil Yachty has written a lot of his recent work.
Well, yeah, it would be more like that beef
then
of just being like, you don't write your own songs, because like my Instagram, I would write these long ass captions when it was even crazier for bitches to do, like back in 2014, 2015.
Right.
And she tried to take credit for that.
A lot of the shit you got dragged for is shit that's like pretty normal now.
I know, right? Yeah. It's like Jerry getting like
all that
shit for like posting memes or like the Fat Jew.
Yeah.
And now everyone's like, maybe we shouldn't have gone that hard about that.
I know. Well, I don't think anybody's like actually bothering to look back at it and think about what they were saying online at that
time. And I think you guys were wronged, and I think you deserve justice.
Really? For the Instagram captions or for
Fat Jerry? No, justice for Fat Jerry and Fat Jew.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
But what was TanaCon like?
So I was only there for like a couple hours, and then it like descended into chaos. But
what were those hours like? Because me and Tana, something we have in common is that I had these disastrous creativity workshops. Actually, if you don't know, don't Google them. It went great.
No, I know.
And everyone compared it to TanaCon.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, but they were like little tiny writers' workshops, and there was no sun.
TanaCon was mostly characterized by the fact that there was like a lot of, you know, maybe 14-year-old girls who were just like standing in the longest line that you've ever seen. So, but that was the weird thing, is like when you were in the middle of TanaCon, it didn't seem that bad, because me and my wife were on like relatively low clout levels compared to a lot of the other people who were there. So we were booked on the first day to do like an on-camera panel thing with Tana at probably like 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., like relatively early in the day. And then like, I didn't know that everybody was like losing their minds outside. So everything kind of seemed fine to us, besides the fact that there were all these kids just running around in the halls and shit. And then they start to tell us like, oh, this is, everything's getting canceled. And then I go on my phone and start to see everything falling apart.
Yeah.
So I didn't really, it was cool to be on the inside of it and then find out that you're part of a, you know, total disaster.
A historic moment in online history.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You're the first person I've ever met who's been.
Very few people.
I feel like I'm meeting history.
Would admit to it. And you want to see something really cool? Look at my Twitter.
If it's not someone else with paint tattooed eyeballs.
My banner on Twitter is still the TanaCon logo in the Slayer font.
That's incredible.
I never changed it since 2017. Yeah.
That's insane brand loyalty for you to Tana.
But
I
what
love
else
Tana. I think she's amazing.
What are you gonna make your Twitter header banner?
When am I?
No, like, what is anyone like?
Oh, yeah.
What am I going to do? I'm going to pay, like, a graphic designer to make, like, a image.
Honestly, I haven't changed mine since 2017 either.
What is it, like some flowers or something?
Yeah, it's like, I think back in maybe 2019, 2020, someone just, this is actually like bad that I'm admitting this. Some artist, oh my God, I'm getting so much hate for this. This is sort of flown under the radar, but No Jumper exclusive. Some artist made some sort of collage of like a bunch of different images of me for some, I don't know, interview that I did back then. And I just sort of took that collage and then added more things to it and put it as my Twitter banner.
That's okay. You can build upon his art, right?
Yeah.
Well, for your Twitter banner?
I don't know. It's not.
But you're scared that
gray.
This is going to be characterized as you like stealing his work, you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
See, you're.
She can't even make her own Twitter banners.
See, your community is like really into weird shit like that.
I don't claim them.
Really?
Or at least the people who are really upset about those sort of things. So I don't claim them.
What happened after that Vice thing where you were talking to all your Redditors about your life and everything? You're like calling all these people. Have you like kind of stuck with that at all? Or have all those relationships fell by the wayside?
Okay, you can never relate to this.
My Reddit is worse than yours,
I swear. But I did this just for the money. It was just a one-time video thing.
You got paid by Vice for that?
Yeah, oh yeah, I got a great bag. And I didn't want to do anything. I was still working on my first book, and I didn't want to talk about anything on camera. I honestly just felt like not talking about my life. My grandma just died, and I just sort of wanted to like cocoon and just lay low. Mm-hmm. So I had to come up with something that Vice would pay me for that could be about Caroline Calloway without me having to divulge anything about my life. Mm-hmm. So I pitched the idea of what if we get a burner phone, slap the number on the Reddit thread, and then just like call these people and find out who they are. And have you ever talked to anyone from your Reddit?
I mean, I guess like regular people on the street, but once in a while they'll be like, yeah, I post on the Reddit.
Is your Reddit really bad?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
How bad?
We've got a lot of control over it, but there's like alternate, but there's evil alternate versions of the Reddit, like, you know, basically like they'll be a lot harsher than we allow in our main Reddit.
Oh, okay.
So there's like alternate worlds.
Well, you know, my Reddit, which I just don't have no hand in, I don't control it, it's a separate thing, but it used to really kind of bother me. Some of the things they'd say are like really mean. And I thought calling them up, one of two things would happen. I thought immediately I'd pick up the phone and it'd be like undiluted vitriol. Like the person would already be screaming on the other end. Or I thought like they'd go into like a weird fan mode, like when someone meets you and like suddenly they're like really simpering. And what actually happened was a third option, which brought me a lot of peace, which is that they all just wanted to talk about themselves. Like they just struck me as so lonely.
Really?
Like they weren't even that interested in me. Like even to have me on the phone and have my undivided attention. Like they were telling me, sort of like oversharing about like parents that were sick and like health problems they were having.
Really?
And I just found that, and then I never looked at it again. That was like 2-3 years ago.
Wow.
2 years ago.
I really never look at it?
I'm clean. Honestly, I'm on such a long streak now that I just want to stay completely sober.
Wow.
But amazing. I stopped the day, or like the week that we did, the last day of that shoot.
That gave you some closure about the whole thing?
Yeah, because I just realized they're so lonely, and I wish they found community in a different way than like hating me.
Mm.
But I do think that there's something for people who maybe don't have like a lot of good like social network in their own lives. It's a really safe space for them to like, they know any opinion that's negative about you or saying, I don't know, making fun of you in some sort of way, they know it will get a good reception. They know it'll get upvotes.
You're a content creator. I'm a content creator, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of people are not necessarily in the position, nor do they want to like take on the responsibility of being a full-fledged content creator. So for them to be able to write a Reddit post or like create like a funny TikTok where they're reacting to something that you have going on, I think you kind of have to respect it because they're essentially kind of doing the same thing that me or you are doing, right? They're just like doing it on a different scale, and they're not necessarily like expecting to get money out of it or whatever. They just want a little bit of feedback online. And maybe that eventually kind of leads them to something a little more prosperous content creation wise.
I think the feedback they want is what I'm talking about. They want like community, you know?
Right.
And I think they do it because they're lonely.
I just can't imagine being a part of like that niche of a community and actually like wanting to engage on that level. But that's like the privilege of me having a podcast. So if I have something to say, I can say it to this big audience. And I think that to a lot of those people posting in a Reddit and knowing that like dozens or hundreds of people are going to see it, that's really what they're going for, right?
Totally.
So you're still in Sarasota?
Yes.
Are you still living in your grandma's house?
No. I was there just to help clean up after her death. Okay. But 2 years ago, I left New York. Mm-hmm. 1 year ago, New York Magazine, when they did their It Girl issue, they put me on this list with like Julia Fox and Emily Ratajkowski. And like, I have not set foot in New York until yesterday. It would be another year till I'd come back. But I've tried to maintain my of New York-ness, but I am fully in Florida, threw my passport in the ocean when I got there, dropped it off a bridge, and I told myself I wouldn't leave the state until I had finished my first book.
Okay.
Which is definitely real.
And you lied, though, because you're in New York right now.
Well, yeah. Well, the book is done.
And the book is done, as you can see.
Yeah, it was
the final ass cover.
They all look like this. they all look like this.
Exactly.
No, I actually have one of the best problems an author can have, which is that my book is so in demand. I feel like most authors are trying to like get their books off the shelves. We cannot keep this book in stock fast enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, I didn't think we were going to sell as many copies. I thought we'd sell a lot, but not to the point where it's like back ordered for months. Okay. And it's because it's only through us. That's why you couldn't find it on.
Okay, I was thinking that. So I have to order it directly from you. So it does exist and it is out there for the world to see.
Yeah. The Washington Post called it a masterpiece.
Really?
And the New Yorker said that I want this. If I get a tattoo on my eyeballs or anywhere else, it's going to be this. Scammer is funny, engaging, and full of genuine insight. The New Yorker said that.
Wow. I know.
I'm so happy. It's like every writer's dream to like have their first book received like that.
So is this kind of like a new thing for you to be able to hang your hat on, that you're like being taken seriously or like getting these positive reviews? Because there's been like probably a lot of other phases of your career where you felt like, oh, the world perceives me as a scammer and a joke, right?
Absolutely. I wish the answer was no, but 1,000 times yes. I cannot tell you how many times the word actually was used as a qualifier in reviews of my book. It's actually well written.
Right.
It's actually really good, but I'll take it.
Because didn't you at one point say that you thought it was going to take you like 6 years to finish it?
Yeah, on Julia's podcast.
Yeah.
I was talking about a different book. That clip went viral. You know how it is, it goes viral out of context. I was talking about a different book that will take me 6 to 7 years, although more like 4 to 5 now.
Okay.
But Scammer, coming out, getting out 2 more books actually within 1 calendar year.
So how long has it been available to the people out there?
10 months.
10 months. But you don't have a full run for people to be able to purchase. Like, is it going to be in Barnes & Noble at some point here?
No.
You're going to stay limited.
Yeah, well, the thing
no
is...
No digital downloads.
To be honest, I'm making a crazy bag from being the only supplier in the world who has the book. And I actually think this could be, like, pioneering a new business model for authors who have, like, online platforms. Uh-huh. Because the publishing industry is, like, famously bad at its job. Like, they give big advances to books that they know that they will sell, and then they need those books to sell to sort of like bankroll all the other books that will flop that season. So it's just this strange sort of like...
Sounds like the music business.
What?
It's a lot like the music business too.
Yeah, except I think it's even worse because the superstars of books don't even make as much as pop stars.
Okay.
So it's like a poor man's music business.
Okay.
And I think it's so great because none of the books that we sell are like, I'm not overextending myself. It's all like printed to order. Uh-huh. And even though I didn't take like a fat advance to do this, as long as you have a good relationship.
Well, you did, but then you had to pay it back.
That's actually a different story. Right? Yeah. Have you ever tried Adderall?
Yeah, back in the day, I used to snort it at the bar and shit. But that was a bad problem for you, huh?
Yeah, it was a really bad problem.
I can't imagine doing that shit now.
Oh my god.
Even the coffee and the energy drinks, it's like, that's enough.
You don't drink coffee?
No, I drink coffee every day, too much of it, and I just can't imagine like what more stimulants would be like in my life at this point.
I was insufferable. Like, I'm already terrier-like enough without methamphetamine. Like,
so you're off it now?
Oh, completely. I've been off for like 5 years.
Oh, wow.
But when I was in college, I got super addicted to it, and I... As one does, sold my first book for $500,000 my senior year of college. Sold a book I had no intention of ever writing.
Right.
Immediately spent the money. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, on enough Adderall, luckily they only gave me a $100,000 advance, but on enough Adderall, $100,000 will spend itself in one night.
How much were you spending on Adderall in a day?
I had to do it more by month because Adderall as a substance is illegal in the United Kingdom, and I went to college in England, and so I would have to not only pay to like for the flights to come back,
right,
but I would just have to stock up like one day for a month.
So you're paying for people to get on airplanes with...
No, I would go myself. I cut class and I just go back. And my biggest problem with buying Adderall was that I didn't know enough drug dealers in New York City to get Adderall.
Really?
But I had this one doctor who I found by actually, and I'm worried I'm going to enable people, but I opened up Yelp and I typed in Adderall, and then I sorted by like least stars first, and I found a review that was like, this doctor doesn't care about your problems, he's just prescribing pills. And I was like, bingo. And I went to this guy, and he was the strangest character. Every time I saw him, like, something would be strangely different about him. Like, one time he shaved off his eyebrows. One time I walked in, Dr. Leave this name, was just in, like, a neck brace.
Really?
Didn't mention it.
And, I mean, like, how would you describe what happens to you if you don't do Adderall during that time period of your life?
Oh, it haunts me. I mean, maybe she doesn't sell a book she doesn't want to write. Maybe she sells... really good book deal. Maybe she doesn't, I don't know, go down in flames. Like, part of the reason my ex-best friend tried to take credit for my work is because I was just, like, a nightmare to be around during, like, the real addict years. She was just angry.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and I really hurt people, as a lot of addicts do.
So, Adderall, Caroline, was a bad person. Do you put yourself in the good person bucket yet, or are you still working on that?
No, I think I fully do.
Okay.
Do you?
Good person?
Yeah.
You seem like a good person.
No.
Oh,
for
me?
Yourself.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm great.
Okay. Never mind. Dumb question. See, this is why my team is like, don't ask your stupid questions.
No, it's good. I don't mind being spoken to. But, okay, so what happened to the Lena Dunham? Sorry, my wife is Lena, so I would say that one.
Okay. I was about to give you a hard time being like, you know about rap, welcome to my world. Right. But, Lena Dunham. So, we actually... I love that Margaret Qualley and Jack Antonoff are together. I love them, I ship it, but Jack Antonoff is Lena Dunham's ex of 7 years.
Okay.
Margaret was cast to play me. Lena finishes the script. Margaret starts dating Jack.
Okay.
Deal falls apart. I'm gracious about it. I'm Adam 22 letting Aaron Carter take back his diamond necklace. I'm like, whatever, I didn't need it, it's totally fine. Yeah, I just want you guys to be happy, whatever.
So she paid you for the rights to make a movie about your life story, and then due to, like, just stupid little, like, personal drama.
What?
Did she spend $500,000, or what was it, $1 million? To buy it?
Oh, yeah.
And now it's just gone.
$1 million deal that I would just never get.
It's just by the wayside now? But does she still own it? And, like if you wanted to make a movie about your life, would you have to go through her?
We're reselling it now. And guess who I think we're going to sell it to?
Really?
Yeah.
She's making movies?
Yes. But,
I like how you think I'm actually going to edit this shit out.
You're joking.
Well, I mean, maybe if you, like, hound me after.
I'm going to hound you. I need your cell phone number. No. Like, I need this deal to go through.
Okay.
This we need a...
Okay.
This
I don't want to put the bag up. Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's crazy that you're, like, trusting us to not edit this stuff out. We kind of famously don't give a fuck.
Oh, really?
Well...
I feel like I've seen you edit stuff out for people.
It takes a lot of
maybe hard I'm expecting work. Like Tana treatment, and that's unwise of me.
I don't think I would edit anything out
for Tana.
I mean, she knows the rules of the game. She's an influencer. She knows if she says anything that is going in the podcast, right?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm famously too trusting.
Really?
Yeah. Like, when I went viral as a scammer, one of the hardest things, just I'm sure you've had to do with like news stuff. And obviously our job is this, it's the internet. And like, when you show up to your place of work, you can't always take your feelings with you. You can't be crying at the office, you know?
Right.
But I think it's very healthy if you have a bad day at work, that after work, when you go home to your inner circle, your friends and family, you can vent and be your real self and like cry or whatever. And so when I first went viral as a scammer, I handled it really well at work. I actually killed it. But at home, obviously, I was crying to my friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally were, it was a nightmare because they could not stop laughing because they're like, you know, this is so funny. Like, you're our most gullible friend. Mm-hmm. Like, this idea that the whole world thinks you're a scammer is kind of like, they were like, no, it's very sad. It's
so
very
you're
sad.
More likely to be scammed.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
100%.
But you know, okay, that, That's the ultimate decision that you have to make, is like, who are you going to share your fucking problems with? Because I saw a clip from Shaq where Shaq was saying that as a man, you should never open up 100% with a woman because they will always use it against you down the road. And I was kind of shocked to hear even like Shaq say that. But I mean, if you are in a position where you don't really feel like you have that level of trust with anybody, which I guess like from his perspective, hanging out with so many random women over the years, that like he's just used to them using that against him. So then you can what, like only confide in your therapist?
Yeah.
It's kind of tragic.
That is tragic. And I would never recommend what he's doing in the same way. I also wouldn't recommend where I'm at. Like, it's definitely a part of my personality I need to work on. I think what happened was when my ex-best friend published her like expose, where she very skillfully positioned herself, she basically painted me to like all of New York Magazine as this dumb blonde bimbo, which is so rude because clearly I have brunette roots. Other part completely true. But I felt like I was never gonna trust anyone again. And I feel like after that, I tried to make a really conscious effort to stay open. Like I felt like the worst thing she could do was like not take away my career, but like take away like who I am. And so I think I overcorrected, honestly. I think it's time to like go in the other direction and like trust less.
So your ex-best friend writing this expose about you caused you to try to actually become a better person?
No.
Absolutely not. Okay.
No. Well, you have to understand, like, she wrote that like 5 years, or I don't even know the math, after the Adderall era. And I had already been off Adderall for years at that time. So I felt like I was pretty settled into like my amphetamine sobriety. I was settled into like my good person journey. I think specifically what it made me want to do was not become a paranoid person like Shaq, who's like, every single person who wants to be my friend is just going to try to sell me out to New York Magazine. Like, I really tried to be like, no, there are good people out there. I'm going to stay open to finding them and making genuine friendships.
I notice that even with myself, though, sometimes I'll be like around a group full of friends and I'm not really saying the shit that I really want to say, because I'm always behaving as if there's like a reporter in the room, because I'm always kind of thinking of like, what if this was getting recorded and is going to get released at some point? Like, I kind of almost have lost that filter. Like, I feel like I can be totally open with my girl, but and some of the guys who work for me, but there's other guys who work for me who like, we have a super cool relationship and everything, but do I really trust you to not, like, I already know that the incentives are there for you to go make a fucking YouTube video about me if you leave, so I don't really want to give you, like, additional ammo to go off, right?
Yeah, it's hard. I don't have an answer. I don't think I know enough about your life. I just know that for my life, I think I've overcorrected. I think I've erred too much on the side of trusting, and it's time to head back towards where you and Shaq are.
So you're just, like, alone every day, or, like, who do you spend your days with?
Well, in New York, I used to never be alone, but I used to never write either. Mm. And in Florida, I have my cat.
Right, not a human.
But pretty cool.
Pretty fun. Take him to the beach.
Yes, all the time. Right. And he has all these hats that he wears.
So he won't run away at the beach?
No, he's not bright.
Okay.
Or fast.
I would love to have a cat like that. Every cat I ever had in my life probably would have just walked away at the
beach.
He's
just a big potato boy. Uh-huh. He's a Siamese, and he's perfect.
But is it hard to find people to hang out with in Sarasota, Florida, since, like, you know, like, being in the literary community or whatever, like, you have all this, like, this set of, like, references that probably a lot of the people you speak to get, but I'm assuming the average person in Sarasota is, like, a Waffle House employee.
I have not f***ed someone who can read in over 2 years.
Wait, you f***ed dudes up there?
Yeah,
really?
We do.
Just random guys?
Yeah, I meet them on Hinge, and I think maybe if I go on more than a couple dates with them, they might be able to have enough clues about my life to figure out who I am.
Okay.
But most of them, they don't ask, and I don't tell them. Like, they think that they have, like, a really sweet job. Some of them even try to give me advice on, like, writing or publishing books, and I'm like, thanks, sweetie.
There's been so many times in my life where I was hanging out with a girl when I was younger, and then I, like, kind of figure out she's a prostitute. And
what?
Well, like,
wait, I need to ask you.
Not like a streetwalker, but
I have a really important question. Okay, no, finish yours.
No, but I'm saying, like, do you think that that's similar? They, like, figure out you're, like, a writer, that people write articles about you and shit, that is probably a similar experience for them?
Yeah, I don't think about it much. I really don't. respect them at all. So I don't really spend a lot of time trying to like POV there.
But you're just hanging out with these salt of the earth ass Florida MAGA truck driving motherfuckers because it'll like be good source material for writing later?
No, I do it purely for fun.
Oh.
that's leisure.
You think that the average is that much better in Sarasota versus here?
I think it's fun because I hate them all. Okay. And I think that I always felt like when I was dating in New York, like these guys, they're all Ivy League educated. They all have such cool jobs. They have these beautiful apartments. Maybe they're Nepo babies. Maybe they come from family money. I always felt like sort of these whispers in my ear of like my lesser self being like, if you just kept saying yes to another date and you just dated this guy, like your life could be so easy. He could fund your art. Like this could be security for you.
I like how dating a guy just has like funding your art embedded in it, that you're also looking for a sponsor at the same
time. Well, listen, I think for a lot of women, we're still making less on the dollar. Like there's still a wage gap. You're still less likely to be promoted. Even if you're a corporate girly, I do think there's a lot of security in like a heterosexual partnership.
Right.
And I think if you have like a less secure job, like being an artist, there's even more so. Like I studied art history and we used to have a system for artists of patronage, but like now you have to be your own Medici. Like I need to fund this, you know? Why did OnlyFans, but we'll talk about that later.
And you stop.
But what I was saying about the Florida guys is that I just don't feel those whispers at all. I feel like the only thing I want from these dudes is their company. They have nothing to offer me. I have already out-earned their lifetime earning potential. Like it feels like dating like a man, honestly. Right.
Because you just have so much more clout.
I'm just like, I need nothing from you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is really crazy.
But you think the dick is better on average with these random Sarasota guys? Or like, because I'm imagining that the dick out here has got to be kind of weak too, right?
No, I'm saying I think I like my own headspace better in Florida.
Okay.
Like, I think I like the experience.
But there's never been a moment where you're like, oh, I could really end up in a relationship with this guy.
Never. Never, not once.
Okay.
And I don't even want to say anymore because I feel like they probably all watch this podcast.
See, that's what I was thinking. It's like, if they're not reading The New Yorker, they might actually have seen this.
I know, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, sweetie, but it's never going to work out.
Wow. But I feel like, you know,
this is how most of the guys, all the guys I'm seeing in Florida are going to find out what I do. Right. Like this right now.
There's like a bunch of guys you're seeing in Florida.
Not a bunch of me, but I have a real question for you.
Yes.
That I need to ask.
Okay.
So, have you ever been to the Odyssey Strip Club in Tampa?
No.
Okay.
I don't even know if I've been to Tampa. Maybe back in the day.
Okay. You seem like some of your tattoos were of Tampa.
Down in Tampa? No. But I've been around. I've spent a lot of time in Florida.
Okay.
But the only strip club I've been to is 11 in Miami.
Okay. This is much nicer.
Oh.
No. Yours is much nicer. Oh, your option. Mine's not.
I was thinking that. I'm like, it's probably not.
It's not at all. It's like a little, you know, this Stanley Kubrick film, Space Odyssey.
Vaguely, sure. Sounds good.
Well, that's about how vaguely this strip club is based on the film. It's a very vague, loose connection, but they do have like a little spaceship. Uh-huh. But anyways, Adam Friedland was performing in Tampa, which is why we were even out and about that night. And I met this stripper, and she told me she went to Berkeley. And I believed her.
Oh, really?
Do you think she went to Berkeley?
I mean, you tell me. I mean, things could have gone bad, right?
Okay, but here, to make it more complicated. So it turns out that her friend was helping me back in Sarasota, like, glue books together. This was before we got the fulfillment process under control. I was gluing these books together in my fucking house.
Really?
Yeah, because I wanted fancy paper. Now I'm like fully bought into it. I'm referring to it as it really is a book.
Yeah, that's the book.
It's causing me, I'm believing my own lies.
I wasn't gonna let on, yeah.
But
no, but they're gonna see it on my fucking story if you're painting the cover anyway.
Oh, you already posted it?
Yeah, is that bad?
No, go for it.
No,
okay. Yeah. Wild.
No, I don't like to like post stuff making it clear who I'm interviewing before the interview comes out, but I was like, what, am I going to remember to post the Snapchat of you in a week painting the cover? Probably not.
Just Snapchat or story?
Snapchat and Instagram. I kind of do both.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you get paid by Snapchat?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I hear that is amazing.
that bag is something.
Well, I love that. Yeah. I love that for Mitch.
You want me to try to help you get you in there?
No.
You're not trying to be a snapper?
No. I would... The books are doing well enough, and I find that work so fulfilling that I don't even want to take my time away from that doing
because
something else.
Snapchat pays well enough that you will just see all these random celebrities that you haven't heard of in a few years, and you like look through the Snapchat thing, and you'll like see them posting 50 times a day on their Snapchat story. And it really, like, a shitload of people have just decided that this is what they're going to do with the rest of their
life.
I'll
keep this in my back pocket. When I text you to follow up to be like, you need to bleep that name or I will kill you.
I don't want to get your number because I don't want you to be able to ask me that directly. I want you to have to
go through
this
team. I'll go through someone. I'll go
no, but I would like
I'll
to have your number.
Mitch. I'll go through Mitch.
I feel like you would text me like interesting things throughout the day, though. So I would.
And
I
you
would
don't want that.
No, I would be interested in that.
Okay.
I want to be part of this story going forward.
Oh, okay.
So what's your fascination with the threesome thing? You've never done it?
Okay, well, I have questions at the end.
Oh,
but I brought...
no, just do it. This is all one and the same. This is just a big blob of thoughts.
I'm here to learn.
Okay.
Okay? Listen, you thought you were interviewing me.
It's all one and the same. Ooh, I like glasses.
I'm here to take some notes.
Glasses are good.
For threesomes?
Just in general. I'm always telling my girls she should wear her glasses more, yeah.
Okay. So... my biggest question is, do you ever feel like, so I've never had a threesome,
right?
But I want to have a threesome before I'm old and wrinkled and just like, it's...
If you're not in a relationship, it should be the easiest thing in the world, right? Also, you got money, so just get a random dude plus an escort, boom, threesome.
Okay.
You want it to happen like magically, right? Like there's got to be an element of like intrigue.
Wait. Okay, I think I'm already answering my own questions. So you think I should get a random Florida boy and a stripper who went to Berkeley?
Well, what are you looking to get out of this?
I want something formative that's interesting. That I want something, that's honestly what I want from these Florida men as well. Like, I just want something that, I want experiences that shape me,
right?
You know?
I just don't think it would be all that dramatic or interesting for you if you don't have feelings for the guy, right? Because then it's just like three people hanging out doing fun sex stuff.
Yeah, no, I think I would want to have feelings for the guy or the girl.
Because
already.
Otherwise it's,
but I think
it's
the
too
guy
easy.
Is more likely. What?
You have, it's too easy if nobody has feelings for each other. Because then it's like you're shooting a porno, which is like, I've seen a lot of people do this. It's
no,
just
that,
like,
that sounds awful and just weird. And
well, I'm saying no camera, but like if you don't, like, okay, if you were dating a guy and you really loved him, do you think that you could watch him have sex with a woman in front of you? No, okay. That's going to be a problem.
Well, okay.
You probably are going to have to get over that.
No, but here's what I'm thinking. First of all, there's not a man in the state of Florida, I think, that could make me fall in love with him. So I don't think that's a problem.
Rick Ross?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, wow, okay. That's awesome. That's amazing.
Never heard of him.
That's tight.
Is he your friend?
Kind of racist. No, he's like probably the most famous Florida rapper, really. That's cool, though.
Great.
Big fat dude.
Okay. So, great. Moving on. I literally only know about books. I've never seen a movie or heard a rap song in my life.
Much respect, yeah.
Which is why I'm here.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of books you know about. I've never seen Stanley Kubrick movies or whatever. You're talking about
you. You're not missing much, don't worry.
Okay. It's probably like a lot more useful than a lot of the stuff I know about, though.
Not on No Jumper.
No, that's true.
Knowing who Rick Ross was in that moment would have slayed.
If you had like some Rick Ross references.
Him, and just like.
Okay, so what are you writing down about the threesome?
I'm going to take notes on what you're telling me, so I remember this information.
Okay.
Because I actually want to keep this in my everyday life.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Do you feel ever as a guy who, and try to think back, I feel like now you've honestly done so many threesomes, I wonder if you're not even like a little numb to them.
Oh, mega numb.
Yeah.
Once you could f*** your wife with another dude,
What's left?
If you can handle that, like what can you not handle? So like the girl guy threesomes seem like nothing. Like that's just an everyday thing.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay, this is an iconic crossover. I'm like such a sensitive person.
Right.
So think back to when you were younger.
Right.
When it was still new and when you were still dealing with like more emotion in the moment. Did you ever feel like you had to be in charge of sort of navigating the other the two girls, like, emotionally through the moment? Like, did you ever feel one of them might get frightened?
But I feel like every time I ever had a threesome, like, prior to the relationship I'm in now and stuff, for the most part, neither of the girls really had, like, an emotional connection with me, so it was kind of like...
What were you going to say about this one time you were on a... You kept going on dates and you found out they were prostitutes?
Oh, just in general. Like, a lot of times I've dated girls and then realized that they had, like, a history in escorting. I mean, escorting is so normal in L.A. that it's just... It just happens, right?
Okay,
so... Especially you're dating strippers and shit, it's like, then you find out they're selling pussy, it's like, well, duh, yeah.
Are these the same years?
Yeah, I mean...
Like, the same years where you were having threesomes with two random girls? Okay, so, there are two random girls. How would it start, and how would you sort of, like, initiate it? Because now I know it's, like, a very... Like, what would you say?
Okay, well, I have one...
And how would you, like, sort of...
A lot of times it felt like I kind of got chose by the chicks, like, in the sense that, like, I remember one night I had a big-ass staph infection on my arm from doing jiu-jitsu.
Hot.
The year is approximately 2011, and there were these two girls that I knew, and, like, I basically had, like, a party house at the time, so it was just all kinds of people coming through randomly, and these two girls that I knew, they came through, they said that they wanted to go to the bar with me. I told them I have a staph infection, I'm not going to the bar, I'm staying here and smoking weed in bed. And so then they went to the bar, and then they came back to the crib afterwards, and I had this flannel shirt on so that they couldn't see the staph infection, and then they like went to the bar and like got drunk and then came back and just fucked me together. But I feel like I've always kind of been like the kind of guy that girls, if they wanted to have a threesome, they knew that
they
I was
where
the
to
kind
find
of
you.
Yeah, they just knew that I was down and that I wasn't going to be judgmental, or that I would be probably able to stay hard and everything. Because you find a lot of guys can't really perform in that environment. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
This is like probably the most formative threesome I had in my earlier years. So when in 2010 or so, I moved to LA. I meet a girl. I'm really into her. We're kicking it like, and we're having a great time together. But it's only been like a week, and then she says to me, "I want to do something crazy. I want to go to Mexico." So we go to Mexico. Proceed to get super up. We're like doing shitloads of coke. We go to the strip club. We end up banging these strippers. Like,
this is what I want.
In the back of the strip club. And I felt like that moment like brought us together so much.
Yes, this is what I want.
Because we're banging completely random chicks. They don't even speak English. So it's not like there's any chance of you feeling any kind of real jealousy,
so
right?
Yes.
I think that those Mexican strippers were a perfect first. That was my first threesome, but it was great for me and her in the context of our relationship, because there was no real jealousy possible, right?
Yes. Okay, this is a great example. I feel like we're making progress.
And not to say that Mexicans are subhumans or anything. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying that when they can't talk to you, you kind of got to put them in a different bucket.
And like, put my book down. I don't even want it associated in that clip, okay? Crop that shit out. But, okay, yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And you know when you were like, you need to be in love with a guy, or like, could you have a threesome with a guy you're in love with? And I was like, no. What I think would be a perfect threesome time period is like when you're dating a guy who you think you could really see something happening with someday, but like you're not really, you just like don't know each other well enough, and you're still getting to know each other, and you're still like fun and crazy, and it's like you're not in that deep. I think that would be like the perfect like parabolic, like, sweet
spot. If you have a guy that you're kind of starting to feel, and then you go climb Mount Everest together, it's going to bring you closer together, right?
Exactly.
This is kind of like a little mini Mount Everest.
Okay, this is great. This is confirming what I believed would be true. What happened with you and that girl?
She actually ended up falling in love with a guy who was, like, richer and more famous than me, and it really kind of devastated my ego, and I kind of had to, like, rebuild, and I got, like, really depressed off that one.
Good.
We were only together for, like, 3-4
months. I
like
to leave the men behind me and just like
I'm sure you've had this effect on many men. Yeah, actually, this girl totally reminds me of you too.
Really?
Yeah, you guys have like very similar energy. Yeah. But like with my girl now, I mean, it's like a completely different thing where like when we were first sleeping with women together, she would sometimes get jealous. Like we'd be drinking and doing coke and shit. So like your emotional state is like totally different. I think you should be sober for the record. But,
no. Okay. I think I should be like so drunk that like someone's like sign a consent waiver.
I feel like the most important thing is that you can't view the woman as like your peer or your competition. So that's why I'm saying like straight up you should get an escort. Because if they're just being paid to be there, it's going to be a lot harder for you to, you know, catch feelings about it, right?
But don't you think I would feel weird paying for sex?
I don't think you should, because I think that if you have like outside of the norm sexual desires, that in general, like, okay, say you're a dude and you're really into like, I don't know, tying bitches up and shit like that. Like, you could spend your whole life going to the bar, meeting women, and then at some point kind of like revealing to them, like, hey, I have this crazy ass fantasy, and realistically it's going to scare off a large percentage of them, right? Or you could just spend money to like get women who this is their specialty to come over to your place and do this.
And every person should do both, though.
You can definitely do both, but I feel like if you really do have, like, outside of the norm sexual desires, you either are going to have to find, like, some kind of app or, like, community online where you can meet people who are into this stuff, mm-hmm. or you could pay a professional to help you indulge. Mm-hmm. Which, I spent my whole life really looking down on prostitution, and now I feel like I get it. And I feel like now, if I was single, I would probably, this would be like one of my hobbies. And hopefully it wouldn't be something that I would get like weirdly obsessed with.
Now that I've learned from the telling you about the movie deal stuff, I will not be telling you their actual names, but I am going on some exciting dates while I'm here.
Exciting?
Yeah.
Like dudes who are known, like I would know them?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You think that you'd be happier with a guy who's famous-ish?
No, but they're really cool. They're a good crossover. I used to them when I lived in New York. Like, they're like old lovers.
Okay.
And yeah, I know I have a good time with them. And they're so interesting and so cool. And their like apartments are amazing and full of like the coolest.
Do you have a lot of suitors? Like, do dudes view you as like a appropriate life partner that they're trying to get something serious going with? Or do you feel like you're kind of like a meme to them?
You know, I'm sure there's some guys who see me as a meme, but I think there's some guys who see me not as a meme.
If I wasn't in a relationship, I could definitely see myself falling in love with you. Just like on the basis of like, you're charming enough that I feel like my animal brain would just like avoid the fact that this is probably not a good life decision for me.
Yeah, I think most guys do that with me. And honestly, something I think about in Florida is I feel like I have this line in my very real book that definitely exists where it's like, I don't remember how it starts, but it ends with the phrase, like, and every day in Florida takes another bite out of my beauty. And I feel like my ability, where it can just, like, override any controversy that I've been in or any sort of, like, wild shit that I get up to on the internet or OnlyPath. Like, I'll age out of that eventually.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder sometimes if I should make more of an effort to settle down instead of just really throwing myself into making more books while I'm in that, like, sort of, like, window.
But, like, does that feel weird to think that, like, you're kind of, like, you're worried about running out the clock on your youthful beauty?
Oh, yeah. It feels so f***ed up. I'm not saying that that's right or that I'm even, like, the prettiest person in the world. Like, I'm just saying that, like, I think that's a very, like, sober view of reality and the world we live in. And I'm obviously not acting on it in any significant way, but it is a thought that runs through my mind. Like, the path I've chosen is to go to Florida to be an artist, to churn out books. I mean, I'm putting out 3 books in 1 year. It's kind of unheard of. Like, I'm really, like, grinding. Like, I'm going to stay there probably for another 3 years, but it's a thought that I think about sometimes.
But it's a terrifying thing for all women, right? That you're, like, born with this amount of this thing that is your attractiveness, and you kind of know that it's like slowly going to go away as the time goes by. And like, and sometimes you have a conversation with a woman who's like 50 years old and you realize like she was considered very, very beautiful, and like she knows, like she might still feel beautiful to some extent, but she knows that the world doesn't perceive her that way.
And when that happens to me, I'm going to have all the baggage on top of it, you know? So it's like, I'm going to wake up and it's going to be like a meme hangover, you know? But like right now I don't have to contest with that. And I'm like, should I be spending this chapter of my life, this season of my life differently? Eventually, I grapple with these thoughts, but I come to the conclusion that like, no, I don't want to be living off anyone else's money. I want to be self-made. I think writing is my purpose. Like I should just be connected to my purpose and be putting out books. And those are the thoughts I act on, but I have these thoughts as well and they worry me.
Wow.
But yeah, you must feel it a little bit in porn.
Oh, totally. But a lot of these dudes shoot till they're like 50.
I'm sorry, around 50. Lena should feel it.
Right.
Not because she isn't. All the caveats for me, caveats for her. It's just the stupid world we live in.
Right,
the
but she knows it too. And if anything, she lives her life like...
She's so beautiful and amazing.
Thank you, I appreciate it. She's incredible. But she works so fucking hard because she has that in her head that she knows that the amount of money that she can make right now is probably more than what she's going to be able to make in 5 or 10 years. So it's like we want to have more kids, but it's kind of like it makes more sense for her to work her ass off now and save money for the future, whereas I don't have as much of that pressure.
Yes, totally. Let's talk about OnlyFans.
Did she really quit?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Why'd you quit?
Oh my God. Do you know something that's really funny that the No Jumper audience will appreciate? Uh-huh. So this is like the first time I've ever had an audience who will actually appreciate this fact. When I first joined OnlyFans, so I joined in like peak early pandemic, like April 2020, when everyone's just like at home, horny, convinced the apocalypse was nigh, just like losing their goddamn minds. And I joined OnlyFans and I did really specific kind of content. I only did topless photos. Like, so what it was my mom was subscribed to my OnlyFans. Let me explain. So she has this thing, she tried to raise me to believe that I could make a living as an artist. Like, I really enjoy painting because I'm so good at it. But I enjoy writing, I enjoy lots of creative things. And she, whenever I sold something, I did a run of anything, of paintings, of making, I don't know, earrings or something, she'd buy one. And so when I did OnlyFans, she wanted me to feel like she both accepted my sex work and also that, like, she wasn't shunning this. Like, it was another thing that I was creating. So she subscribed. And I charged the maximum amount. I charged $49.99 a month. Mm. And I took no special requests because I didn't want to engage with, like, any of the messages. Like, I didn't have a team. It was still early days for OnlyFans and its growth. And also, I just sort of felt like me getting drunk and, like, shooting content alone at home was, like, so much different. It was like opening DMs from guys was like getting like shouted at from a car, you know? Like, it was like, it felt more like I was less in control.
And it takes the thing that you're normally doing for fun, which is like texting dudes that you met online, and it turns it into your business, and it kind of will like seep into and ruin you doing that.
Yeah, like I'd rather be poor, so I just didn't fuck with that. Right. Well, actually, that's not true at all. I shouldn't have said that. During this time, I had a 100,000 debt to my old publishers. Right. Like, the timeline of my life went like, so I go to college, I get addicted to Adderall, get a book deal in that order, get into debt because now I've spent the $100,000 advance. The whole book deal was for $500,000, but the industry standard is 20% upfront.
Right.
I spend it instantly. Now I have a choice. I can either finish this book that I don't want to write. It was going to be like a fairy tale version of my life, which is totally my fault for selling. Like, it's not, the publishers are not the villain. Like, I'm the villain.
Right.
So I can either finish this book or I can find a way to buy back my life rights so that I can own them and write a different book. Because I also couldn't write a different book because they owned my life rights.
Right.
So I needed $100,000 and I couldn't write another book. And books are what I was best at. So I joined OnlyFans during the early pandemic. And I sold topless photos where I dressed up as like female heroines from literature. Mm-hmm. So like Juliet Capulet, but she's a slut.
Okay.
Or like Dagny Taggart from Atlas Shrugged.
Right.
But she's a slut.
Okay.
Sort of vibe. And I would just, they were really simple costumes. And the demographic I was trying to go for was like, recent Princeton grads in finance who like think I would have been mean to them in middle school and just had like $50 a month to subscribe to.
It's just like so bizarre because I'm so used to like when you talk about OnlyFans content, you're really aiming for like the most inclusive bottom of the barrel thing.
I went full niche and get this. I was in the top 0.03% of all creators on OnlyFans. I earned back the 100 grand and like, and I know now I never could pull those numbers because there's so many real porn stars on OnlyFans. But they're
not really going to be the ones taking away from the money that you're making, because I feel like, if anything, like that, there are girls. Oh my God. I know this girl, Jelly Beans. She's 4'7". She dances on the top of Cybertrucks. You might have seen this on your Instagram feed because this shit goes insanely viral.
Algorithms.
Probably. And she, I think she is doing sex stuff on her OnlyFans, but it's like, she makes so much more than all the porn star girls. And she's just like this
random... She's just dancing on Cybertrucks?
Bro, I gotta show you this. This girl is the smallest human that you've seen, but she is really, really pretty, and like, she absolutely smashes shit, but like, nobody... That's not her.
You're like, that's a different...
I type in Jelly
Beans. A different body named Jelly Beans that he follows.
It might be a different Jelly Beans. I don't know. Shout out her for anyone who knows what I'm talking about. No, but you're just going to be... Maybe she got deleted, because I just searched jelly, and the only thing that came up was jelly roll, so that's a different, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah, I was trying to do sort of, like, more, like, a Stella Berry type content, in the sense that I feel like what's so attractive
she
about...
She does real porn.
Well, I know, but I
mean... Anal Princess.
No, stop!
That's her name!
I know, I just mean that, like, I feel like what she has to, like, her attractiveness is rooted in how she's so, like, girl next door, and she almost offers, like, a girlfriend type sort of vibe. Mm. Like, I feel like there's a real sweetness to her.
Yeah.
And I tried to bring that to the table. Like, a real, like, these could be, like, texts that I'm sending you.
No, okay, there is an X factor for sure on OnlyFans where if your vibe is that of the girl next door, that's, like, way more useful than the chick that seems kind of burnt out and she's been doing porn for mad long. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
So I got into the top 0.03% of all creators on OnlyFans, only doing topless content.
Right.
Since my mom was subscribed, the rule I made for myself was not that I'm against doing any of that type of content. Mm-hmm. I'm so pro sex work. But since my mom was subscribed, I was like, my cutoff for me was that I wouldn't post anything that my mom wouldn't see if we were, like, on vacation together and, like, sharing a hotel room.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I would get out of the shower and, like, drop my towel and, like, really quickly, like, change into clothes for dinner. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't, like, you know, like, I wouldn't be doing right. anything totally no, crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And so that's how I paid back my publishers.
Right.
I earned $100,000, and then I stayed on for a little bit longer just because the money was so enticing.
There wasn't a while where you were like, shit, this is better than writing. I should just do this.
Oh, 100%. But I didn't, once again, like, trying to marry rich, like some finance bro who just wants, like, an interesting bohemian wife he can right. keep at home. I have those intrusive thoughts, but I don't let them win. I was like, no, 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 my purpose is writing. And I think after, like, 9 months, I, like, cut myself off.
It's kind of interesting, though, because there is an assumption in the hip-hop world that, yes, there has been an explosion of women rapping over the past couple years, but it's generally assumed that if you have an OnlyFans, that that is going to make it so that your career never takes off, which is extremely unfair, and I think that at some point that assumption will probably topple, but there's kind of that assumption is that, like, if you're doing anything, like, really sexual or even just having an OnlyFans, that's going to kind of stop you. So I feel like if you can manage being this lauded writer as well as...
Well, I wasn't lauded then. Right. I was just an OnlyFans, so...
I feel like you could do it now, too, and it wouldn't matter, though, right?
You know, I thought about it, but again, I just feel myself slamming up against, like, the world that we live in. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, The Washington Post will probably not call my second book a masterpiece because that would just seem like insane luck, but they might call my third one a masterpiece. But I do feel like I diminish those odds, and I feel like I already have a tough hand to play, and I feel like I make it tougher by myself if I rejoin.
I told my wife that it would be worth us having a threesome with you off camera because of the fact that you would then write about it, and then we would get to read about it, and that would just be interesting and funny enough.
Yeah.
It would be worth it.
I feel like once I have my first threesome, I'll come back to you on
no,
that.
No, yeah, totally. You should totally you know, do it
I think that's not the scenario I'm looking for a first
okay,
time.
Okay, find a guy that you have, like, a decent amount of rapport with, mm-hmm. and then just go to every, like, Hooters and Tilt, etc.
Why don't you think the stripper went to Berkeley?
I mean, she might have, but then
thank you.
But then, how did she
did
get
I
from
hear
there?
That?
How'd she get from there to Tampa, like, stripping?
Well, she. Okay, whatever. I'll
I
drop
believe
it.
It. Because I talk to girls all the time who started the strip club and then they go on to do great things in the porn world.
Yeah. And what made the Berkeley thing more believable was she went to law school at a smaller law school.
Mm.
And I just feel like if you're going to lie about your education, I feel like you should lie about the first college and then, like, go bigger.
I'm a great person to lie to about your education because I'm so not familiar with, like, what colleges are worth lying about that if a random stripper told me she went to Berkeley, I would just be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you'd be like, I'm so sorry.
I just wouldn't even really think about it.
Yeah, you wouldn't. It wouldn't be important to you?
No, because I didn't really, like, exist in that whole college world.
What's
so
it like
know.
Having threesomes with that podcast? I feel like
great.
It must make it so much better because you talk to them beforehand.
Yes. I'll talk to the girl for like 40 minutes beforehand and like really during that time period, it's weird when you go to shoot porn and it's just like you shake hands and you say hi when you get to set and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, all right, you got to get hard and you go, and it's like that sitting there talking is like a great way to warm up.
Yeah. I think it's something that really mystifies me about the rap world is that I just feel like there's such a premium set on like emotionless sex. Like, I just feel like that's really like lauded as like the pinnacle that sex can be.
Yeah.
I just never had that experience.
A lot of rappers basically like get famous and then they create this dynamic where they can fuck women on like an industrial scale in which they don't really have to like, you know, have any. And you see it too because, Jesus Christ. That is a fire truck. Yeah, shout out to New York. Because basically, like, a lot of times I'll have a bunch of porn star girls around because, like, my worlds will come together. I'll have a bunch of rapper dudes that I'm with, and then we'll go to, like, a porn party, and I get to see these guys, like, personality skills.
You should have come to this party last night. You would have loved it.
What kind of party?
Because it was just so... I just
hear. I want to know what kind of party you think that I would have a good time at.
Oh, no. I was just thinking about how out of place I would be in the world you're describing.
Right.
So I was just thinking how funny it would have been if you had come to, like, my life. It was the Drift Gala. It's this amazing lit mag by these Harvard girls. It's like the lit mag of the moment.
Okay.
At David Zwirner Gallery. So art world crossover. So many interesting people. I just think you would have...
Sounds great.
I think you... I would have loved to see you there. In the same way that like I would have loved to see me interacting in this world.
Throw me out.
No, you wouldn't.
I'd be booted.
No, you wouldn't.
So wait, what's your...
You're so smart.
Thank you. Not like you. What's your drug intake at this point? Like, cause I'm reading this article about you, and the chick said, "Holy fuck!" I just unplugged my own mic. It's basically like, oh, this writer comes to join you at your home, and then you just take mushrooms and like freak out.
Oh no,
is that normal
that was,
shit for you?
No. That's you're talking about Lily Anna, like with the big Vanity Fair profile.
Yes.
Yeah. So no, the moment you're referring to is that we worked on that profile. I mean, it was a huge, like, big magazine, like multi, I think it was like 12, 14 pages with photos. And so we worked on that interview. There was like a year long lead up. And one of the times, she's a mom, she's like a really amazing writer. She's like sort of the preeminent expert on Eve Babbitts, one of the most famous LA party girl writers.
Okay.
And Joan Didion, and such an, I'm obsessed with her. But we have these like 2 hour long conversations. And she's a mom, she's busy, she has her life. And one of the times when we scheduled those times, I just took too many mushrooms. The mushrooms in Florida, mushrooms are my favorite drug right now.
Mm.
But I feel like in Florida, there are these like crazy, like swampy Everglade mushrooms. And I just feel like they make me a lot happier than...
I feel like it's a very mushrooms. Florida thing that you're still doing real mushrooms. Because in LA now, the whole thing is like, they have like mushroom gummies and mushroom sodas. And it's just like weed now where they're like pushing this like super commercialized version of it on you. And it's so much more likely that you're going to like microdose. Because my version of taking mushrooms back in the day was like, you get a big... plastic bag full of mushrooms.
It's like a Ziploc.
And then you eat a bunch of them and you wait like a half hour and it hasn't kicked in, so you eat more and they all kick in at once.
That's what I did. And listen, if I had one interview with Vanity Fair, if it was like, okay, be there at this time, I would pull it together and I would not eat any mushrooms beforehand. But it's like we've been working on this for 9 months and we talked like once a week for like 2 hours and it was just like one of our many sessions, but it obviously made a really memorable, iconic moment. And I'm glad you put it in there because it helped that article go very viral. People love that shit.
But okay, whenever people write about you, they all write about how you're basically doing things so that the writers will include it in the story. And that's how I felt when I showed up and you have your watercolors out and you're painting this thing. Is I'm like, oh, okay, she's doing this because she knows that I'll mention it or will include it. Like, do you feel like when you read stuff like that about yourself, does that make you like reconsider everything that you're doing? Is everything a performance?
No, honestly, hearing this makes me a little self-conscious because I truly did forget the books. And this was, I can't wait to see the little like zoomed in screenshots of this on Twitter and people, I don't know.
But it's also like, why would you have watercolors in the first place?
Well, I love to paint. I'll actually paint your portrait afterwards. It'll take 10 minutes if you have 10
minutes.
That
sounds amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be great. Oh, and we can pull up a photo of Lena and I'll do them like matching, like a diptych.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. It'll be so cute. But I love painting and I brought my paints and paper because I'm having a lunch with my literary agents afterwards. And I wanted to paint them. Oh. So that's why I brought it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
so
that's
the performance
why I have it. The performance thing, to be totally honest with you, this was totally unplanned, but that doesn't mean that I don't do things that are planned. Like, I do think that I'm a really, like, calculating, strategic sort of person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Taylor Swift is someone who's really done a great job talking about this I don't know, personality type in women, I think we're so quick to vilify it. Like, it's almost like if you're above a baseline of intelligence, you're going to be smart enough to be strategic and calculating if you're also ambitious. Mm. Like, I'm also really ambitious. And so it's like, yeah, I do try to calculate and stage moments. I'm also performative, like I'm sure you are, and most content creators are.
But we all accept that from Taylor. That, what? Like, I only know about this through my wife, but she's, like, doing an insane amount of, like, world building and lore building in order to excite her.
Oh, my God, is Lena a big Taylor fan?
Huge.
Oh, my God, I am so excited for the 19th.
We are... What, one day? What, today's Thursday. Okay, it's coming out tonight.
I know. People have sent me the leaks. I'm not listening. I want a pure experience.
Wait, they have a leak? It's already out? No, it comes out in like a few hours, right? What is it?
Well, no, it comes out tonight at midnight, so it's no point even listening to the leaks. Although, by the time they're seeing this, I don't even need to do this.
11 hours.
Yes, I know. I'm so excited.
I'm excited too.
But yeah, I love Taylor. Mm. And I'm glad she's telling you the lore. Does she make you listen to all sorts of little, like...
I mean, she doesn't have to make
me listen to... Did you go to the Eras Tour? Oh my God, did you go to the Eras Tour?
No, but I watched a movie, and she's trying to convince me to go to France with her to go to the Eras Tour.
You have to go. You have to go.
That was my kid's first movie, like, in a theater.
No way!
Yes, and she runs to the front of the theater, and there's all these, like... Because my kid was 2.5 at the time.
He's a girl, right?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Parker. She's 3 years old at the time, and she like goes
she
to the front.
Two or one?
Just one. Okay. And there's like a bunch of girls who are like a little bit older. They're like maybe like 6, 7, 8 years old, and they're all like wearing their dresses and they're dancing to the Taylor Swift movie. And my kid is like running over and like trying to dance with them and stuff. And they're kind of vibing with her, but also kind of looking at her like, "You're little, get away from us." And that was insane. Like, just to see this much like growing up going on right in front of my eyes.
That is. Do you ever? And maybe this is sort of a tender question, but I feel like in the sort of like patriarchal, mm-hmm. anti-sex work world that we live in, do you ever find it difficult being in that industry and navigating that identity with the identity of being a parent? Are there ever moments of like friction that really stand out to you?
I mean, I kind of put the porn thing in the same box as the like credit card scammer, drug dealer, etc. Like all the other
you
things.
You were a credit card scammer?
Yeah. Like a Wait. Real, you were like a fake ass scammer.
Yeah,
I was
no,
really
no,
scammer.
No. The label got put on me and then I was like, okay, you know what? I can work with
but
this.
But there's just like so many things.
Were you credit card scam?
Oh, yeah.
When? How?
2003 to 2005.
Did you target the elderly?
No.
Okay.
I was just buying credit card accounts on...
Oh, okay.
Early
okay.
version of
okay,
the dark
okay,
web.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. But it was like buying laptops and TVs and shit and then reselling them on eBay. I didn't get that deep. I didn't get into like opening loans under people's names at the bank. Which
so you
would
put
be like,
it,
that would have been the next step up.
You put it in a box when you're in dad mode.
Yeah, totally. I just like wonder how the f*** I'm going to explain all that shit.
Navigate that later.
Or it's like, hey, I'm a dad and I'm telling you. Like, just like even just the shit that we talk about in the podcast.
No,
I'm just like,
I know, that's what I'm so curious
if she
about.
Just catches like a chunk of me just like normalizing so many things that in our world are totally normal. I don't know. But hopefully I'm a different version of myself by the time she really gets it.
Well, you know, something that I think that will be really gorgeous for you and Lena to offer her as her parents is that I feel like there's actually such a sort of puritanical negativity towards sex.
Right.
I mean, it's part of why we hate sex work. But if you think about like what makes up a really like happy, fulfilled human life, you need to have like be connected to yourself creatively, professionally. Mm-hmm. You know, like even if you're not super, even if your job's not your identity, you at least need to have some place you like. Going to work that makes you feel useful. Mm-hmm. You need to have a good relationship with your friends, with your family. And I don't think we talk enough about like being sexually fulfilled as like such an important like dimension of a full life. Mm. And I think in many ways, like your experience with that will make you a better.
And I just feel like there's grown-up shit and then there's
okay.
like kid shit.
It's
and
not
so,
this is not something that should even enter her world
no,
until
yeah.
she's of age.
I'm just saying, like, a lot of people seem to like ask me that and feel as if I should be really conflicted about it, whereas to me, it's like, I even see podcasters who have this, like, real hard time with the fact that their podcast is inappropriate for kids, and to me, I don't really, like, deal with that at all, because everything I'm into is adult, right? Like, all the rap music I listen to, I can't really listen to around my kid, because it's just way too violent
way too
and
much.
Debaucherous, and I feel the same thing about the porn thing, and everything else in my life, the drug shit. Like, I don't really do drugs like that, but, like, the fact that, like, I clearly, you know, like, there's posters on the wall in here. and shit with lean and perks and stuff, and that's,
yeah, I don't understand what's happening.
Weird for a kid.
Why would
you never drink lean? You want to hit this weed pen? I want to see what happened to you.
Okay, it's giving guinea pig vibes.
Part of me wanted to show up so stoned.
Okay, well,
and do this interview like that.
Yes, I wanted to do this later in the fucking day so that I could bring a nice bottle of wine for us. You're the one who wanted to do it at 11 in the morning.
I got like a 13-hour day today. I'm doing like three other like crazy long things after this.
Same, don't be such a little bitch.
You wanted this.
No, I probably don't even know how.
Just put it in your mouth and breathe in. Okay. You're gonna love it. Just like getting high.
But I think that was different.
There you go. That's a start.
I think it's the point I was trying to make about how you guys will be better equipped to have those conversations.
Right. See, that was better. Yeah.
When the time is right.
It tastes good, right? You don't smoke weed in your normal life?
I went through a time in my early 20s.
It feels like a lot of people did. What kept me stuck to it? I'm not really sure.
What?
The weed thing.
Yeah.
Just one day I woke up and realized, like, I'm addicted to this.
Yeah. You know, my therapist told me that the difference between dependency and addiction is that you know you're dependent when you start making, when you have the need to start making rules for yourself around using.
Mm.
And you know that you're addicted. Like, you know, I'll only do cocaine on the weekends or only drink after 5. And then you know you're addicted when you can't no longer have the self-discipline to keep those rules. And I thought that was very, yeah, true. That's actually why I gave up drinking. I wasn't addicted to it, obviously, because I was able to just stop.
Uh-huh.
But I found myself, did you start drinking a lot during the pandemic?
No. But I also, like, my girl got pregnant at the very, very beginning of the pandemic. So if anything, I, like, became convinced I had to start taking my life very, very serious at that moment.
Were you so freaked out?
Not, like, freaked out because we did it on purpose and everything. But I was definitely a little, it just felt like, oh, shit, my whole life is changing. I need to get serious about everything.
I think kids are so scary.
Yeah. No, that's true. There's an amount of work and labor that nobody really can understand until you get into that position. And I say that as somebody who, my girl handles more of it realistically than me, but it's crazy. Like, I wouldn't recommend it to, like, you know, there's like a whole thing with like red pill type people that's basically like shaming anyone who doesn't want to have kids. I think like not having kids is an amazing decision for everybody who isn't completely convinced that they need kids.
I don't think I'm ever gonna have kids.
Yeah.
I feel like if anything, someone would like give me an orphan. Mm. Like, I feel like I'd be the sort of person who'd just like end up with an orphan. Not because I chose to, like, by not of my own volition.
The way it just eradicates any sense of freedom or free time that you would normally have. Because, okay, my girl just went to Japan for 2 weeks with my kid. And so I had 2 weeks in which I got to see what my life would be like if I didn't have a kid and a wife. And I mean, freedom feels really good, but it also feels like kind of pointless. Like, if I were to keep doing this for the rest of my life, it would just feel like a total waste.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas having a kid feels like it has a lot of meaning to it, even
though it's totally
kind of incredibly stressful. And,
I just feel like my meaning is making books, and I feel like the thing I want most in life is literary greatness, mm-hmm. and to be remembered after my death as being like one of the, I don't know, maybe not the greatest, but a name among American letters of the time of like right now.
Mm.
Being happy is like number two at most. Do you what like is
no? I like that about you. Want? The fact that you say that, because I've read you say that before, I find that like really intriguing and impressive. That like you're kind of willing to put your temporary happiness to the side for literary greatness.
Yeah.
But do you feel like this book's limited release is going to hold that back? Like, isn't there a party that wants, like, a shitload of people to all read it at the same time?
Yes. In fact, you know, something that I find, I used to find.
Are people
really
passing around PDFs?
You know, I think we've done a really great job of, like, clamping it down.
Okay, that's
like,
good. Does the Pirate Bay Caroline Calloway search yield anything?
I don't know.
No, I don't know. It's been years for me too. So yeah.
I don't know, but no. When people used to like ask me why I wanted a lot of followers, this was more in like 2018, 19, 20. I feel like that question is sort of dying. Like everyone sees the point of it now. If you're doing anything creative,
right.
But people would be like, if you want to be a writer, like why are you trying to build an audience on Instagram? And I always think that like you know, any writer who believes in their work wants the maximum amount of people to read it, but somehow it's like inane and vapid to like want more followers. It's like, I want the maximum people to read it, but in terms of will production hinder that in any way? I mean, bro, it's been 10 months, like zoom out. Like, I think one, just looking at how much better we've gotten at getting these books out to people, still a little ways to go, but we've come such a long way. We'll get better at this. Who knows if like in 10 years from now, I wouldn't, if I just self-publish all of these books, get a big bag for each of them, because I'm doing it all myself. Mm-hmm. I'm the only supplier. And then in 10 years, I just sell all of the rights to publish them, and you be the shipment facility coordinator, logistics, and I just make the art. I think I could just sell like a bunch of titles at once to a publisher.
Because, all right, the fact that I even know about you says a lot about the way you've kind of been able to like harness the internet to build up this persona. But then the fact that it's not like the people know you so well that they're not interested in the book, which is kind of like what the average influencer, like even me, I feel like, I don't think that me writing a book seems like a great idea, because I feel like I've already given them everything that they could possibly want of my personality. I don't know what they would be reading the book for, because I've already kind of laid everything out on the table. Like, you've done a good job at sort of giving them enough that they stay interested, but then they still want the full final product, right?
Well, you know, I would hope that the quality of writing is just really good. Like, I never worried about people being interested in the book, because I always thought, I'm gonna make a really good book, you know. Like, so many people who, like, if someone tried to come to you with a book deal, it would truly be them. Your brand is not books. Like, what you do is not, you're not about making good books.
Most of the people watching this can't read, I would assume. No, maybe this deep into it they can, but like in general, the average person who watches my podcast, if I were to be like, how many books have you read in your lifetime, I feel like 90% of them would say none, or the books they read in high school.
Well, that's why I thought the guy, man, I'm in Florida, might be watching. That's exactly why I didn't go in on them and tried to keep a respectful silence, because I was like, I know they're out there. It's the demographic.
Right. You know, I had a lot of shit written down and I didn't bother to look at it at all. What are we, like an hour and a half in, or an hour?
Hour and 19 minutes.
Hour and 19 minutes.
What time is it?
12:50.
I have a heart out at 1:30.
Okay.
And we need to save 10 minutes for a painting before that, so 120.
Oh, okay.
I actually would really need 20 to do one for you, one for Lena.
I already asked everything good that I wrote down anyway.
Okay, I'm trying to think if I have any more questions for you. Okay, what is it like interviewing Selena Powell?
A better question would be, what was it like having Selena Powell eat your ass? Because I did do that.
What?
That happened.
When?
A couple months ago.
Why?
OnlyFans, I guess.
Oh,
it was a Plug Talk episode. OnlyPlugTalk.com, yeah.
Oh my god, what was the episode?
And my girl actually opted out of that one. We interviewed her together, and then my wife went out there and I handled it. It was kind of crazy.
That is so crazy.
To have gone where so many of my rap heroes have gone before.
Yeah. Wait.
And she's a committed ass year, let me tell you. Like, she was doing that shit and she really meant it.
Okay, what was it like interviewing her beforehand?
I've interviewed her so many times over the years. It's like, we have like the, you know, when I'm around her, I feel like I understand how a pimp feels. Where like, she's part of my life, but I don't really feel the need to show her any particular sign of respect, but I do kind of need to keep her happy. But I also like, I have no qualms in my head about snapping at her and barking at her and telling her to shut the fuck up. Like, I have a relationship with her that I've never had with any woman I've ever dated before. It feels like the pimp thing, because I know a bunch of pimps too, so I kind of see how they are.
Yeah. Wait, didn't someone punch someone on this episode because he wasn't a pimp and lied about it?
That did happen. Not this episode, but a different.
See, I am a real fan. You told me I wasn't a real fan right before we started filming. I was like, I'm honestly such a fan. What a nice thing to say. I really like the thing you make. This guy, no, I don't believe that.
I don't believe it. I said I'm going to quiz you on the show and like figure out what you really know.
Okay, well, maybe I'll stop while I'm ahead.
No, that's cool.
But, yeah, I'm not sure if I could pass a quiz, but...
I really want to help make this threesome thing happen for you.
If I come on again, I'll keep you updated on my journey.
Because
I think I have the perfect guy in mind.
Really?
He's not watching this podcast, obviously.
Just a rando, or...?
No, he's this really great, he's just like Aquaman type.
Okay.
He's
what is an Aquaman type? He's a superhero who lives under the sea?
Like big... Like, you know how some boys are, like, superhero hot? Like, just okay. Their build. It's like Henry Cavill.
So you like that? You like the six-pack muscle guy?
No. I like both ends of the spectrum. Okay. I either want you like a Ken doll, or I want you like a sickly Victorian child. Like, I want you, like, about to pass away from consumption in a haunted library.
300 pounds with a micro penis.
No.
No, that's not happening?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's what, like, the average dude is.
Okay. Anyways, he's just sort of like he's on the Ken doll end spectrum.
Okay.
But he's really kind. He lives in the Pacific Northwest. He like was an Eagle Scout. He's just like a really sweet guy, but he's like...
He was an Eagle Scout? You're telling me what he was doing when he was like 10?
No, but I just feel like those sort of boys who also still care about it and would tell me that are like such a specific demographic. I feel
you
like
go just... to his apartment and he has his Eagle Scout shit hanging on the wall. That would be so funny.
No, he like works with nature and so okay. He like knows how to like tie all the knots and like name the ferns, like shit that I like.
I have no interest in nature.
I mean, neither.
No.
Oh, I don't want to learn the fern names. I'm gonna forget that shit as soon as I learn
it. My wife is gardening.
What? No way.
And
what?
I'm over here trying to show a sincere interest in it because I realize it's important to her. It's like the most foreign thing in the world to me.
You know, my two of my favorite things in the world, gardening and Taylor Swift. I
really?
Would love Lena.
Yeah,
Lena.
You guys would get along great.
Yeah. Oh my God. I thought you were talking about nature like camping. I love garden. I love plant. I don't love tent. I love plant. I love plant.
She's got like, strawberries and shit. They're very ripe. They're very red. There's some green ones too. That's kind of mysterious to me. I don't know what's
going
on.
Wait, green strawberries? Those are
some of them coming out green. Yeah.
That's the color they start. Okay, you really like actually.
Some of them are pretty big and they're still green.
The last thing they do before they're ripe, any good gardener would tell you this, is they turn red. I feel like this is.
That's the last thing that happens. Wow.
Yeah, and then they're ripe.
Oh.
You know, they fruit they grow in size. They.
Throughout my life, I've pretty much like gone to the supermarket and they just have. Boxes of these things. Seems a lot more efficient than having a whole garden, but
yes.
I guess I can see how it's
common knowledge, I fear.
When I watch her garden, I'm like, oh, this is like a video game, but in real life. Like this is like Sim City. But it's real.
Yeah.
That's my reference base. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm having flashbacks to not being high, but talking to a teenager who's really high. He's like, yeah. Was out there, POV. It was just like a video game. Sometimes I'm like, is this my wife's garden? Or am I an animal
you think
crossing
I seem
right
high?
Now?
Or do you have like high brain right now?
No, I think you seem high.
Okay.
Yeah.
You feel high?
I feel a little high.
A little high. I think you're processing me in a high sense.
I think that's true too.
Okay.
I'll meet you in the middle.
Welcome to YouTube. I feel like we're creating like really important source material for everything that's written about you in the future.
Totally. And you know, I famously like never make that Vice thing. I was able to get like a bag for that because I never really go on video camera. Like everything I do is a still picture.
Okay.
I don't really do anything with like video content.
It would have been better for the memes if you were actually like in the studio.
What?
Sitting in that chair that like everybody else sits in, because I think that would have been hilarious to just see you in that setting.
I know that would have been so good. Wait, but here's what we'll do. I will take this advice about threesomes.
Okay.
I'll call my Eagle Scout.
Right.
So adorable. And I'll come back in the studio in LA and I'll have updates.
I love it. I want to bring you and Lennon together too.
I actually want to meet her.
You guys will get along great.
I want to meet her.
Sweet.
Okay. We'll make that meme next time.
How do you feel like my hair transplant looks right now on this episode? Because I forgot to wear a hat. Oh, I just got back from Turkey.
Still
healing.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
No, wear this
I'm a 40-year-old porn star with multiple hair transplants.
No. You're absolutely fucking with me. Honestly, okay. I'm offended that you would think I was that high as to believe that.
I can show you the pics. You want to see the pic? You want me to prove to you right now that I have a hair transplant? We're going to have to get exit jelly rolls. Scroll down the timeline.
My class is actually back on.
Where is it? God, we post a lot of reels. God damn, where is it? Did I
already do that? Okay, just show me afterwards.
All right, let's
just say
goodbye. Caroline, thank you. This is probably one of the weirdest episodes I've ever done, and I really appreciate it. It was illuminating. I'm looking forward to reading the book. I'm going to order it. Is it like back ordered right now? I'm going to have to wait a while?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll get a PDF off the Pirate Bay.
It was so nice meeting you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much.